and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and he said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard this, they became indignant as at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones over them make their authority felt. It shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many." The Gospel of the Lord. The mother of the sons of Zebedee, which is a weird way to put that. I don't know why they don't just say Zebedee's wife, or maybe she's got like a name. Anyhow, the mother of the sons of Zebedee does a very peculiar thing. We can understand, can't we, moms gunning for their boys to get things that they want. I know mine did that at times. That's not really true. She more or less made me get the stuff I wanted, but you get the idea. But what's strange about this, like that story, I think we all have at least kind of sort of in our heads. What's strange about it is when she chooses to do it. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, where I'm going to get killed." And then she says, "Okay, these two sons of mine, let them sit, one at your right and one at your left in the kingdom." Now, as this is presented in St. Mark, it doesn't look the same. But here, it's tied specifically to his passion. And well, granted, they don't seem to understand exactly what's happening just yet. She's just heard, or at least they've just heard, the most explicit explanation of what's going to happen yet in the scriptures. And still she says, "Grant that when you come into your kingdom, they shall sit one at your side, one at your right and one at your left." I think this happens, I know it has to me, I presume it has to at least some of you. The Lord says suffering's part of the game, and you go, "I can do suffering. I've had suffering. I've lost some people, messed up some relationships, lost friends. Not all my career aspirations worked out. Whatever it is, I know suffering. I can do it. Be careful. Be real, real careful. My favorite image of our Lord, I have lots that I like, but my favorite image of our Lord anywhere is at the Jesuit retreat house over in Griswold, which is a way of God laughing at me, because the sculptor I know, and I hate everything else he's ever done. But this one piece I like a lot, and it's of Jesus seated before a table. And on the table is a chalice. And he's breaking a host over the chalice, just like the priest at Mass. And the host is his heart, the Sacred Heart. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is a broken heart. And so if you have ever prayed, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine, what you really said, whether you meant to or not, is, Lord, break me, bust me, shatter me into a million pieces, put me together again. The trick is, the lesson Zebedee's wife has to learn here, is that we don't get to choose how our hearts are going to break. We don't get to choose the content or the form of our own heartbreak. Lent can, if approached with the wrong spirit, give a kind of false sense of control over all this. I'll be in charge of my own penances. I'll be in charge of the stuff I take on. And we certainly can learn self-control. But it's not as simple as that. Fasting, prayer, and almsgiving are propedeutic. They're preparatory. They're meant to prepare our hearts so that when the suffering which the Lord has in mind for us comes, which the Lord foresees will come our way, which the Lord will use to ready us for the kingdom, we'll be prepared and hopefully receptive. So as you see him broken again today, his heart splayed open and made ready for you, approach with the mother of the sons of Zebedee and ask for your place in the kingdom. Sure of what it costs, but without counting it.